Well, the scoreboard said I lost today, but what the scoreboard doesn't say is what it is I have found.
Back, tennis fans, to the Tennis Connected podcast for 2018. I'm Neiman Adairi alongside Parsa Sammy, and we're here this week to preview the Australian Open from Melbourne, Australia. This week's podcast is brought to you by Grand Slam Tennis Tours, as well as Health IQ. Let's introduce our co-host for this week, Parsa. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Neema. It's 2018. It's a new season, and dare I say, I'm refreshed from the 2 months off, and I'm ready to watch that ball go back and forth. I have been watching, actually. I've been watching small events for the first time in a long time, and I'm enjoying it a lot.
Yeah, you know, Parsa, I was kind of thinking the same. I'm kind of pumped now for Australia. To be honest with you, like when, you know, the first, you know, the warm-up events happened a couple of weeks back, I was like, you know, we're already back into the swing of things. Would have been cool if we had maybe 2 or 3 more weeks. But with that said, I mean, listen, it is we got to get back into it, but I'm super pumped for this tournament. You know, for Parsa and I this week, we'll discuss, will we see another Nadal-Federer final? Is it finally time, Parsa, for, you know, Halep or Wozniacki to capture that first elusive major? How will Novak Djokovic rebound from his recent elbow injury at his most successful Grand Slam? And finally, does Maria Sharapova have what it takes to once again claim a major, especially with the absence of Serena Williams? So Parsa, as we get into that, we're going to break down both women's and men's draws. Let's talk a little bit about, you know, the side stories before we jump into the women's draw first. We have Serena Williams, as everybody knows, will not be playing this year. Unfortunately, she's the defending champion. So she will basically have 0 points, Parsa, after this event, because this is the only tournament that she played last year. I think she's targeting an Indian Wells return. So that's going to be, as we know, in March. So I fully expect her to do well there. We know that she did play that EXO in Abu Dhabi with Ostapenko, which she lost in 3 sets. She looked okay. I think movement was a little bit sparse, but other than that, I think she was hitting the ball pretty well, and we wish her well as she returns. Other, you know, notable absences from the year's first major are Andy Murray. I mean, you got a feel for this guy, Parsa. You know, trying his utmost best. He loves this game so much passion for the sport. Gets down to Australia, but he just can't do it. And he had surgery a couple days ago, as you know, to repair his hip. And he's targeting now a Wimbledon return. So that's going to be a lot of time off for the Brit, Scott, but we wish him all the best. And then we have Kai Nishikori, who is still not ready after his wrist surgery, and he will be back in action, I believe, in some challenger events at the end of the month. And then we have Kuznetsova, who also had surgery and who is also on the mend and the comeback. So do you have any thoughts on those players before we jump into the women's draw?
She had just major complications, and it just wasn't something that was very fun for her to deal with. And it seems like all throughout tennis, we've got aging superstars who are having some trouble with health. Now, Serena obviously was a medical condition, so it's not something tennis-related. But with everyone else, it's injuries, and the story is all over the place. We really don't know what to expect in terms of who's healthy and who's not. Normally, a season ends, and you're not sure of how hard they've been working in the off-season. Now, you don't know how hard they've been working the offseason, but you also don't know how hard they had been going when they were, you know, injured, or if they're in shape, or what's going on. So it's like if before every Australia was a question mark, now it's a double question mark. Mm-hmm. I mean, who knows what's going to happen other than you watch Federer play, and he's like, you know, just amazing, still amazing.
Rolling back the clock.
Impeccably,
yeah.
Around the court. And yes. It's just a thing of beauty to watch. And he continues to show that world-class talent and that world-class advantage. Other than that, what's super interesting for me going forward is that I think this is the blend year, and what I mean by that is you've got the superstars that are sort of waning, and you know, I'm not sure Murray's going to come back to the number one in the world like he had before last year.
No.
And I think you're going to see some replacements. I think you already started to see it at the end of last year with, you know, Sock being eight in the world. And just Dimitrov is sort of imposing his will now. You can see Kyrgios maybe winning a slam. I mean, there's a lot of unsureness right now, and there's frankly some gaps in the second week, and maybe someone can actually step in now and take advantage of the opportunity that's ahead of them.
Yeah, and I think that, again, you know, a couple months ago I had said, Serena comes back, I'm taking her to win the Australian Open. Well, she's not here, right? Then I had said on the men's side that I was going with a Nadal and Alex Zverev final. You had just told me that I personally don't think Nadal's fully fit. You told me that you were seeing him hit with the team and he was just crushing the ball in some practice earlier. So I think he's going to be still in decent enough shape and he's got a good enough draw that he can advance deep. I just don't know if I see him hoisting that trophy. And then you have Alex Zverev again, who I don't think he's shown me enough in the last 2 or 3 months that he's really ready to go deep in one of these tournaments still. So that's why we're going to go with some other guys. But we'll get to the men in a second. First, let's jump right into the women's draw. We have it led by the top two players in the world, who are Halep and Wozniacki. Both have been number one on various different occasions. Halep currently number one. Neither has won a Grand Slam, which for me is upsetting in one way, because you know you want the number one player in the world to have that. Unless nobody has a Grand Slam and you have like 20 new players that are contending and they're just all young and they're ready to go, right? But in this situation, you know, both of these players have been around for a while and they still haven't been able to get it done, even though they've been close. So will this be the time? Well, that's why we're here, right? So we have Halep as the number one seed. She has a pretty decent draw. I mean, I don't think Bouchard's going to do much, even if she gets to the second round. She's been playing terrible still. I don't even think she'll win her first round against Dodin. And then from there, Halep might have Kvitova. We have Vesnina. We have Konta in this quarter. So I don't know. I mean, who do you really think can do some damage here? I still think that with everything that I'm seeing to get to our first semifinalist, I'm going to have to go with the hardest hitter here and the player that shows me that it's a little bit more of no-nonsense from her. I mean, you have Safarova and Strykova as well, but I think I'm going with Pliskova, former U.S. Open finalist, to be my first semifinalist here. What's your breakdown?
You know, for me, it's very difficult, right? So, like I said, double question mark as I opened. I can't seem to get away from having Halep advance. I think things have been happening with her in that I think she's improving.
Mm-hmm.
I think she spends her time improving. I think she's in the right mindset. I don't know any of this, of course. I'm not in her camp. I'm not with her daily. But I feel like last year was an improvement. And I feel like probably in the time off, that didn't change. That mindset didn't change. And I think she had time to work on some things and continue to try to go to work and get better at what she does. And I think I'm expecting a big result from her because of that. And I think it's a mindset, and I think that she's probably putting in the correct work. And so I have Halep advancing here.
Okay. Now we move on to quarter number two, led by Muguruza, who's the number three seed, as well as reigning Wimbledon champion. Problem I have with Muguruza is she's completely not healthy at the moment, right? So I really don't see her. I mean, she might lose first round, maybe second round, but I really don't see, you know, an optimistic journey for her here, even though I'm glad that she's playing the event because she's a great player and a great draw card. Other players to look for in this section, Parsa, we have Radwanska, we have Kerber, who's picked it up a little bit this year, finally, Parsa, after having a dismal 2017, after having a rock star 2016, right? We have Mogdanovic, who I think she's lost like, 15, 16 matches in a row. I mean, just, you know, off the charts, not good right now. And then we have Madison Keys, Lucic Baroni, who I believe made the semis last year, right, if I'm not mistaken. And then we have Caro Garcia, who who has been playing some good ball here as of late. So with all of this and all of that said, I think there's also Sharapova is in this section too, right? If I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
Yeah, and that's exactly who I'll be going with. Because, you know what I mean? I think that she's kind of under the radar. She's feeling good. And I think that, you know what I mean? She's got everything to prove. And Sharapova, let's be honest, she's always played tennis with a little bit of a chip on her shoulder. You know what I mean? She's always having to prove herself, kind of in the, you know, the shadows of Serena for all of these years. And which, I mean, granted, Serena's destroyed her pretty much throughout her career. But she'll keep coming back. You knock her down, she's right back in that. And I think she looks at this like, you know, bring it on. She's not looking to be friends with anybody out there. She does her own thing. She's got her own, you know, squad that she hangs out with outside of the tour, even at tournaments. And I feel that with that said, she's going to completely come into this tournament ready to go, feeling good. And I'm taking Maria Sharapova as my second semifinalist. What do you have?
Very good. You know, like you said, Kerber was the one that she's shown finally some sort of ability to play tennis again. And
yes,
you know, she's the one I have my eye on here. I don't know. I'm feeling her being down match points in the first set, first round, and then getting hot. You know, there's something I think. I think she's completely under the radar. No one expects anything from her, and that's exactly where she wants to be. She's still very dangerous. She's a lefty. She can hug the baseline and push the ball around and pose a lot of problems for a lot of people as long as she's emotionally in the right frame of mind. So, you know, for those reasons, I have her advancing to the semifinal. Can you believe that?
I can. All right. So we're going on to section number three. And Parso, who was I? What was my bandwagon last year? Right, it was Svitolina. Right now, she's up to number four in the world. She's been playing well. She won a tournament to start the year. You know, I just feel that she's, and you can see like Nike's promoting her now. They're not really looking at Bouchard anymore as much as they used to. And I just feel that with everything that she brings to the table, again, she hasn't really gone that deep in a major as of yet. But I think it's just a matter of time. I mean, this is a fit player. Plays Azarenka type of game. Again, well, so let's mention Azarenka. Again, you know, she still has some custody battles that she's going through, so very unfortunate that she's not at the year's first major here. We wish her all the best, and we can't wait to see her back on the circuit. But in the meantime, I think that with everything that Svitolina brings to the table, I think she's going to get through here. Other notables that we got to mention, obviously we got Peng Shuai, we got Sloane Stephens, reigning U.S. Open winner, who has not won a match since winning in New York, which to me is
incredible.
Yeah, this is the type of stuff that, you know, people sit back and, you know, sometimes they get a little bit, you know, upset with the WTA. And these are the things that they're going to look at, right? It's like, imagine like Nadal winning the French and not winning a match for 6 months. You know what I mean? It's kind of doesn't validate your greatness and your consistency. So I think that I like Sloane. She's done well here. She's made the semis. And I think that, you know, she can do some damage here. She doesn't have that good of a draw. But I think with her forehand and her confidence, especially from winning New York, not in terms of her recent events, if she can show up for the majors as she historically has, I think she does well here. We also have Julia Georges, we have Makarova, who's had some decent results here, and then we have Venus Williams, who was the finalist here last year. She's got a brutal first round, Parsa, against Belinda Bencic. You know, she could be out in the first round. I fully see that one going to three sets. Bencic just won the Hopman Cup with Fed. She's feeling good, probably inspired from the GOAT. And I think she's coming in feeling, you know, feeling hot there. So, you know, break down this little section here and tell us what you have. I'm going with Svitolina to the final four.
You know, funny you said that. I watched the Hopman Cup, and Bencic the first day was a mess. And by the last day, she was basically the GOAT. it was crazy.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's got to rub off on you no matter what. Better than any coach or anything. I mean, you got the greatest player ever. You know, you just being around him probably improves you as a person. And so with someone like Bencic's talents, you know, that's a rough draw for Venus first round. That's going to be very, very interesting and a great match to watch. I thought you made great points about Stevens. And I understand what you're saying about validating and, you know, but there sometimes is the hangover effect, and I don't think we can compare it even to men. Women are more emotional, and there's just you know, there's a big letdown there. You know, she achieved a dream, and I'm sure she wasn't, you know, in the same training, and you know, when people played her before, she didn't have a U.S. Open champion target on her back, and now she does. And so every time someone does beat her at some tournament, it's a big deal. And so I think there are new pressures that she has to get used to, and it's a compliment, right? The Billie Jean King famously says pressure is a privilege, and it's very, very true. It's a privilege, and you have to embrace it and endear it and be one with it and do the best you can with it. And that's all I have about that. That being said, you know, Svitolina is the hot player. I think that, you know, she can make a real run at number one in the world this year, to be honest with you.
I think so too, yeah.
You know, because she's the one that's showing the most consistency, although not a slam and not a champion yet.
Yes.
She's shown that she has the ability over time to play quality matches, you know, and do it over and over again and put herself in positions of success. She just has to sort of figure it out. And I think this is a great opportunity for her. And for that reason, like you, I have Svitolina in the semis.
Okay. And as we move over to the fourth and final quarter, it's led by the world number two, Wozniacki, as I mentioned, looking for her maiden Grand Slam. I mean, I know a lot of people would obviously like to see her get it. Will she do it? I mean, it remains to be seen. I think she's got a pretty decent draw, to be honest with you. I think she's going to be able to grind out a lot of these opponents. Pavlyuchenkova, Bertens are, you know, a couple players that stick out initially to me. Rybakova, Coco Vandeweghe, who had a deep run here last year. She's also going to be in the mix. I don't know. I mean, it's... And then we've got Ostapenko, who I think is going to have a bit of a letdown this year, to be honest with you. I think everything, you know, the spotlight's shining bright on her, especially after what she went through last year. We have, you know, Samantha Stosur, who's always faltered here in front of her hometown fans. We have Sybil Kova, who's made the finals here before. You know, she's going to come in ready to go. She's IG crazy. You know, she's putting up stuff every day, millions of stories and pictures. So, you know, she's in a good mood. We have Taylor Townsend. Parsa, what's going on with her? You think she's going to pull it around? I saw she's got a new sponsor. I think she's with Lululemon now. She's not with Nike anymore. What are your thoughts?
That's incredible. Yeah. I'm not sure why. Yeah. I don't know what she brings to the table. What does she bring, Nima?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking you, just because of the, you know, the U.S. Connection there, if you've seen her. Because I think she's kind of playing like the ITF circuit a bit as well, too, right? She's not really... Because I don't see her in the main draws. Like, I don't see her in big matches in Indian Wells, in Miami, and Toronto, and Cincy.
No, I mean, she's probably got a great agent. I mean, that guy should be hired by everyone else.
Yes.
Or a lady. I don't really see the upside with Taylor Townsend. You know, she's a nice player. But I wouldn't. I mean, Eugenie Bouchard has done five times as much as Taylor Townsend has. So, you know, I'm not sure. You know, who would give her money to play and to sponsor her like that? But maybe it's, I don't know. I don't know enough about it. But, you know, she had her chance. You know, put it that way.
Yes.
And you know, maybe she will. Slowly, as she ages and matures, she'll start to put it together a little bit more and have a little bit more consistency. But she'll never meet her talents and the feel she had for the tennis ball. She'll never reach her potential there. I strongly believe that. And I think those things, when you do finally get it, you know, they pass you by. So tennis is a cruel thing in that you mentally and physically have to meet together in order to achieve great success. And sometimes, myself included, sometimes things don't match up and it doesn't work out. And that's just the way it is. And, I think for her, she can try and carve out a nice career for herself and maybe make some money and put some money in the bank. In terms of making an impact, Nima, I don't see it.
Okay. So who do you have moving forward in this section? I'm taking Wozniacki to make the semis.
Yeah, that's exactly who I have. Interesting.
Okay.
You know, talk about making the most of what you have. There's somebody who, can't hit the ball harder than 68 miles an hour, 65 miles an hour. And but she's relentless. She keeps the ball deep in the corners. She makes people play. And I think her consistency over the last year was really impressive. I was really impressed by that from Wozniacki in sort of a quote-unquote comeback. And I think she's going to continue. I think there's nothing holding her back. She's happy. She's engaged now. And I think only good things are going to happen for her. So I have her in the semi as well.
Okay. And before we get into our semifinal picks, pardon me, our finalists and then winners, who's your dark horse for this tournament, Parse? And let me remind you, these are the rules now for this year. Your dark horse cannot be seeded. Okay, has to be outside of the top 32. So for me, I'm going with Naomi Osaka. Really nice Japanese player. I think she's got a lot to offer. A little bit under the radar, even though a lot of people know about her. And I think this year, you're going to see her really elevate her game. And if the chips drop in the right position, I think she's going to make a deep run here. Who do you have?
Yeah, she's actually from New York, Nima. You know that?
She's from all over the place. She's got a very diverse background and upbringing and kind of like Toro Daniels. He's like from Jersey, Japan, Spain. He's been all over the place as well, too. So sometimes that's the world traveler as of tennis, right?
That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, I can't believe you're knocking out the seeds. I mean, but there is Sharapova unseeded, but that wouldn't count as a dark horse. It's... Nima, man. See? That's not fair.
You see, I caught you off guard. You got to come up with something solid.
Totally caught me off guard because now I'm looking at names like Iguchi, who I've never heard of, or Jana Fett from Croatia. You know who she is? I don't know who she is.
Yeah.
Hold on, guys. I'm taking a quick look here. You know what? I'll go with it. How about Belinda Bencic?
Okay, that's a good. I like that one a lot.
You know, that's a solid one I've actually seen play, and I know she can do some serious things with the ball, and she can hit the cover off the ball. So, maybe she gets hot and everything falls. Nima, what do you think?
I definitely think that that's a great pick, especially if she can get through Venus in round one. Then I think the draw gods open up for her, and she can make a deep run. So, Parsa, with everything that we've discussed, I'm taking Pliskova, Svitolina as my finalists, and I'm taking Svitolina to win her maiden Grand Slam and start off the year on the right foot by hoisting the title here in Melbourne. How about yourself?
Yeah, I've got a Halep and Kerber, and I think it's going to be a tremendous semifinal match. And I think Halep's going to come through there. And I think it's going to be Halep and Svitolina in the final. And I think that Halep is going to hold her first title. And I think she's going to come through with the goods. And she's going to redo the Roland Garros from last year and figure out how to get over the hump.
Okay, perfect. Okay, Parsa, so as we move along to the second half of our podcast for the men's preview, which is brought to you by Health IQ. Health IQ uses science and data to secure lower rates on life insurance for health-conscious people, including tennis players, runners, cyclists, strength trainers, vegans, and more. From a tennis perspective, according to a 2007 study in the British Journal of Sports Medicine, tennis players who play twice a week have a 17% lower body fat than the average match controls. According to a 1980 study in the Journal of Medicine and Science in Sports and Exercise, average VO2 max is 40% higher for male tennis players and 32% higher for females. As you can clearly see, there's a lot of health benefits to playing tennis. From a savings standpoint, 56% of Health IQ customers save between 4 and 33% on their life insurance. These savings are exclusive to Health IQ. To see if you qualify, get your free quote today at healthiq.com/TC or mention the promo code TC when you talk to a Health IQ agent at the following 1-800-549-1664 number. So, Parsa, with that said, as we jump into the men's draw, which is, again, I think, you know, it's interesting because we got into, you know, last year and we were talking about, you know, all of these, you know, injuries, and we were so stoked for, you know, the Australian Open to come about. And has it really given us everything that we wanted to? I mean, Murray's not here, so that's a big blow. Nishikori's not here. I think that is a big blow. And then we have uncertainties with Djokovic, with Wawrinka, Nadal's knees. So again, this could turn into, US Open Part 2. You know what I mean? Where like one guy like a Fed gets hot, he cruises to the finals, and then you have a guy like Diego Schwartzman who's his opponent. You know what I mean? Like
I don't know about that, but okay.
something. You know what I mean? Just like a Kevin Anderson, like a player who's not supposed to be there in the high 20s, early 30s, that that comes through. But I think that's not going to happen. And as we break down the draw, we have Mr. Rafa Nadal. You know this tournament is special to Rafa Parsa because this is still the only major that he hasn't won at least twice. So you know he's coming in heavy and he's going to go all guns blazing. And even if he's injured, he's going to give it his best. I think he absolutely destroys Estrella Burgos in the first round. You got Nicolas Jarry, who's a very talented, tall Argentine. I'm not sure how many people are familiar with him, Parsa, but he's coming up too. He's a little bit of a late bloomer, but I've been following him for a few years now, and I think he's going to be able to do some damage as the years progress here. We have Chorich, who is unseeded, who's gonna be looking to do something. We have Zoomer, who's another very workmanlike player who's had some success. Schwartzman, who I absolutely love his game. I think he hits such a clean ball, such a great mover, and he gives you hope. You don't have to be 6'4" to make it, like the Khachanovs and Tsitsipases and all of these tall guys who are coming up. And I think that he's somebody for everybody to look forward to, especially if you're a coach and you're trying to coach players and saying, listen, you're not a big guy or a big girl. Look at Diego Schwartzman. Then we have Dolgopolov, who everybody knows is a shot maker. We have Isner, who, I mean, he's there. You know what I mean? I don't know how much damage he's going to do here, but he's going to be ready to go. We have Corino Busta, who, remember, Parson, just not long ago made the semis of the US Open. We got Gilles Simon, who won a tournament in India to start the year. We have Delbonis, who's a crafty left-hander, another crafty left-hander. We got Jules Muller. I mean, we keeps going here. We got Cuevas, and then we got Marin Cilic. I think with everybody that I've mentioned in this little section here, I still think even a Nadal at 60% has enough to get through this quarter and get to the semifinals. What do you think?
I mean, I don't think he's 60%, first of all, but I think he's greater than that, and I
Yes.
think he looked good, Nima. I watched that tape this morning from him and team practicing, I believe, on Rod Laver Arena. I mean, that man was ripping that tennis ball.
Okay.
And by the way, the courts look like they bounce high again, like they always do. So
That's to his advantage.
to his advantage
Yeah.
again, and he's just roping the ball. I mean, I can't tell you. Amazing stuff, and I agree with what you wrote and or what you said, and I'm gonna have Nadal in the first semi here.
Okay. And as we move on to quarter number two, we have Grigor Dimitrov, who we know, everybody knows our history with Grigor Parsa. He's let us down, he's come back up, he's annoyed us, he does the splits, he's a shot maker, baby fed, all of these different things, but can he get it done here? I still don't think so. I mean, even when you look at his draw, which is very favorable, he's got qualifier, 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 Baghdatis, qualifier. It's not going to get much better than that in terms of getting your way into the event. But lo and behold, really good first round matchup, by the way, in this quarter is Andrei Rublev versus David Ferrer. That's going to be an absolute grind. I think that, Rublev is one of those guys who he's got to work on his temperament, but the skill set is definitely there. He's got a rocket forehand, needs to work on his second serve especially, but he moves very well, very competitive guy. Can Ferrer grind him down? Maybe, maybe. But I think that if Rublev gets by that match, Ferrer will be doing Dimitrov a favor because I think if Rublev gets through Ferrer, he's going to beat Dimitrov in the third round. If Ferrer beats Rublev, I think Dimitrov beats Ferrer. That's kind of what I'm going with. But it doesn't matter really what happens there for me, Parsa, because you got Nick Kyrgios who won in Brisbane last week. Again, a guy who very up and down. We know that. Looks like he's a little bit in a better headspace right now. His knee for me is a little bit of an issue. That said, he has a pretty good draw. And I think with everything that I've mentioned, even with Dimitrov there, we got Tsonga, we got Kevin Anderson, US Open finalist, Lucas Pouille. I'm still going with, Old Faithful, man. I go with Kyrgios a lot. I'm going with Kyrgios to make the semifinals here. Who do you have?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, we should have a poll on Twitter, saying, how many slams in a row is Nima going to pick Kyrgios to go deep in the slam before he actually does?
I didn't do it. I didn't get him. I didn't have him at the U.S. Open, so
okay,
let's just have that.
But I'm Burns, so you're not going to get my pick of him. But the one guy I have watched this at this time this year is David Ferrer. I mean, he looks incredible. Just feisty and he looks like his old self again. So it's extremely interesting to watch him play. And
yes,
I think because it's a bunch of these kinds of guys, I think that this is the kind that the old Ferrer, if he is truly playing like I watched him play, this is the kind that he always gets to the semifinal and loses. And so therefore, I've got him in the semifinal.
Yeah, I mean, Ferrer, he's changed rackets as well to Wilson. He was dilly-dabbling with, he had Babolat last year, he wasn't happy with that. Then he changed to a blacked-out Wilson. So he started to pick up his game a little bit from there. He's no-nonsense, he's going to come in, he's going to do his thing. I think the Rublev match is going to be tough for him, but if he can get through that, can he get through Dimitrov as well? I'm not sure. I think, Tsonga, even though he won four titles last year, they weren't really as of note, even though a lot of players would take that, and he's still 15 in the world. 15, 16 in the world. I think that he's kind of fading. Kevin Anderson, again, he's going to be a rough out here. Lucas Pouille. I think when he gets, his act together, man, this is a top 10 player. I mean, he's a very strong guy, can do a lot with the ball. Good volleys, very strong, very fit, good ground strokes. His serve is pretty big, and he's a professional guy. I mean, I think he works hard. So watch out for him if he can get going, but like I said, I don't know, man. I think that Ferrer, for me, is a great pick. It's a wild card pick. I could see it maybe happening. That's for sure. As we move now, Parsa, to the third quarter, we have Djokovic is back in action, right? That guy Novak Djokovic. So that's going to be, an interesting situation to observe. I mean, this is just going to be a very interesting quarter. We got Dominic Thiem as the number five seed. We have Mannarino, who's had a banner year. We have Batista Agut, who's going to be playing Del Potro in a bit for the Auckland title. We have Verdasco, who we have, he'll always go down as having that amazing match with Nadal, back at the Australian Open back in 2009. We have Wawrinka, former winner here. He's coming back after a long time. Djokovic coming back after a long time. Mafi, who just won in Qatar last week. Jared Donaldson, who I really like a lot. I think he's a great player, and I think he's going to have a great future. Ramos Vinoles, Misha Zverev, and then, Mr. Alex Zverev, who a lot has been put on him and how he gets his stuff going. And I don't know. I mean, what do you think here, Parsa? I think for me, with everything that, I stated and all the players, that I just have this feeling that if Djokovic can get going, he's going to do some damage here. And I think that this is the beginning of the year. So, I'm going to give myself maybe some long shot picks, even though we're talking about a guy who's won his tournament six times. I'm going with Djokovic to make the semifinals in this section. How about yourself?
Yeah, and I can't agree with you more there. Although there are tough guys in there in team, in Mannarino, Bautista Agut, I don't think Wawrinka will do much.
No.
I think that it's a very challenging draw, but I think it's a section that if he's somewhat near his top form, I think match by match he'll slowly improve, or not slowly, but quickly improve. And I think he's going to be in very, very good form come week two. Therefore, I also have Djokovic in the semi.
Yeah, and I think that, Parsa, one question. I saw Djokovic play in Kuyong, and he had this,
yep.
he destroyed Thiem there, and he's got this new abbreviated serve motion. So my question is he's kind of going a little bit like the Monfils and Andy Roddick. I love Djokovic's serve. I mean, especially when he was dominating for those few years before he got injured, and for him to make that drastic of a change to a great shot, it's not like he was struggling with his serve. I mean, he was hitting heavy second serves. Becker really had him gunning it. Is that something? I don't think the MPH is going to be as high as we're used to seeing, but is it going to be finding the corners enough, and then is he going to be able to really dictate with his ground strokes, a little bit like an Agassi-esque type of game, right? Placing that serve and then using the ground strokes for, you know, from a point composition standpoint and really dictating from there. I mean, what do you...
And punishing. I mean, that's what it looks like he's doing. He's just ripping, Nima.
Yeah.
I mean, he's swinging as hard as he can at every shot.
So Parsa, quickly before you continue there, in terms of the going, you know, if you have some elbow problems or some wrist issues, but it's more mostly the elbow with him, if you go from more of like that scissor type of motion on your serve to a little bit more of an abbreviated, do you see that alleviating the stress on the elbow? I don't really think, from my point of view, that it does, but I'd love to hear what you think about that.
Yeah, I actually had to, after my first surgery, my shoulder surgery, I had to do the same thing.
Okay.
There's just less torque, so it's less twisty and then explosive.
Okay.
And so it's just a little bit more stable, and it's a little bit more known, and you can really bulk up those muscles to protect the injured area. So yeah, it will affect his game, but he won't feel pain. So that keeps him on the court, and I think as a professional athlete, it's extremely important. And you know, how it'll end up affecting his game remains to be seen. But perhaps he is playing higher percentages and service-wise and able to, you know, really get the opportunity to dictate from the baseline a little bit more because he's going to use it to play smart. I mean, it remains to be seen, Nima. We have to see how it plays all out.
Yes.
But I think it'll increase his first serve percentage, which I think in the end of the day will be a benefit to his game because you're just going to have more massive ground strokes coming at you. And less opportunities to be aggressive and put him on the defensive. And so I think that'll keep him healthier longer. And I think he'll be able to play those lockdown type of points when necessary. And so I think you're going to get a more of a well-balanced Djokovic than we've seen before.
Yeah, and I think Donald Young is another guy who's, you know, has had actually a pretty good last 12 months, but he's not going to be a guy who's going to be able to blow him off the court. He's going to give you some rhythm. And I think it's going to be enough for Djokovic to really get settled into the event and then take it from there. But, I mean, you know, Monfils is lurking. This guy's got a tough draw. That's not sugarcoated in any ways. But I think he's going to be fresh, and I think he's going to be ready to go to do some damage here. Now, we move on to the fourth and final quarter here, Parsa, led by, you know, none other than Roger Federer going for his 20th Grand Slam. I mean, remarkably enough, and he's the favorite. He's the odds-on favorite. He's the bookmaker's favorite. He's everybody's favorite, right? But is he going to win this tournament? We've seen Fed come in, have opportunities before. He was obviously not expected to win here last year, and he did. He was very much expected to win Wimbledon, and he did. That's on grass. That's a different story. We know his history there. I look at this draw, and I look at, you know, Bedenin, Struff, you know, all of these guys in the first couple rounds, not a problem. Richard Gasquet, I don't think he has what it takes to trouble Fed. Then we're getting into potentially maybe Milos Raonic, Sam Querrey, much bigger guys with a lot of firepower. Can they do some damage? Potentially, but I don't think they have the X factors at this stage to trouble Federer. Then as we move on from there, we have the likes of Burdick, who I don't think can get it done, Fognini, who remains a head case, David Goffin, absolutely, I think, can get it done. But even more so, I'm looking to, you know, former U.S. Open winner Juan Martin Del Potro, who's in the finals again today in Auckland, who will be opposite of Batista Agut. I really like what I'm seeing from Delpo. He's hitting more over his backhand. He's not massaging it as much as he was. He took a ton of time off. You know, he had an amazing offseason. He said, my wrists don't hurt. I mean, he's coming in saying, I'm not injured at all. You know what I'm saying? And he's playing well. And he's had a tough match. Like he beat Dennis Shapovalov, he beat Khachanov, he beat Ferrer, and now he's playing Batista Agut. So when you talk about coming, those are four really good players. So if he takes out Batista Agut today, who you know will give you nothing, you gotta beat that guy because he's an ultra professional. If he can take him out today, and that match still hasn't happened, so we're making this call before that. I really like what I've seen from Delpo. We know he took out Fed at the U.S. Open. We know Fed was injured. But with that said, I still think that if it's a Fed and Del Potro quarterfinals, I'm going with Del Potro in four sets to make the semifinals. What do you have?
Yeah, I mean, I think great analysis. I can only go by what I've seen,
Yes.
and Federer looks amazing. He still looks just looks like Federer still. I don't know how he's doing it,
I
but
have no idea.
he drinks water, I think, from the Fountain of Youth, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
I just cannot go against him. I think there's still has to be someone who can come and counter him. And that would be someone who can hold serve with him in the biggest spots and force him into bad situations. And I think Delpo is that guy. He can do that. I'm not sure Delpo is going to actually get there though. And the number one guy I'm seeing in Delpo's way is Goffin. I think Goffin is better than he's ever been.
Yes.
And I think he's completely under the radar, even at seven in the world. I think he's very dangerous. And
Yes.
I'm sort of anticipating a Goffin better quarterfinal. And I think Federer will advance in that match, although I think it'll be difficult.
Yes.
So I've got Djokovic and Federer in this half.
Okay. And as now, this is where we start getting into the real deal. So I have so far, so just to recap here, I have Nadal, Kyrgios, Djokovic and Delpo. I have Kyrgios and Delpo as my finalists. So I
Hold
have
on, what about your dark horse, Nima?
okay, one against Dark Horse. Okay, let's go with that. Dark Horse, I already got it down, Parsa. I'm going with Thanasi Kokkinakis. I think that he's gonna be feeling the crowd. I think he's gonna be feeling good out there. And he's only 21. This guy, it seems like he's been around forever, right? But he's still only 21 and he was off for 2 years. So I think that he looks like he's healthy and he looks like he's fit and he's been working hard and he's a very hard worker and he's had some perspective. He said, listen, if this didn't work out, I was getting ready to maybe go to university. But he thankfully it all worked out. He beat Milos in Queens last summer and he's been feeling much better and he's been building slowly. And I think there's nothing like some home cooking and some home fans to really get you going. And for that reason, I'm going with Kokkinakis to make a potential deep run at his home slam.
Very good.
Yeah.
I've got a Hyung Chung is going to be
Like that one. I like it. I like it.
my pick, although he didn't play a good match a couple days ago.
No.
I think that he's got the potential and the right draw that if the ball's really moving through the court, I think he can really do some damage here and potentially lose to Djokovic in the fourth round here.
Yeah, and I really like what Chung brings to the table. He's again another ultra professional guy. Like if that guy was your student, he's listening to everything that you're saying. He's just absorbing and absorbing, and he's just like such a student of the game. And you can just tell. I mean, he won the Next Gen Finals, and he's in a good place. He's gonna have a good career. He's gonna make a lot of money. He's gonna do some good things. So very happy for him. And he's in a good market, in a market that's very flourishing, the Asian market. And that's a market that the ATP is also targeting and very looking forward to, having a really big star coming out, just like in Nishikori coming out from that neck of the woods. So, Parsa, as we move forward, I had Nadal, Kyrgios, Djokovic, Delpo. I have Kyrgios upsetting Nadal. I think if they get there, he's going to be feeling the moment. He's going to be going. I have Delpo taking out Djokovic, and then I have Kyrgios defeating Delpo in the finals to win his first Grand Slam. Yes, I said
Oh
it.
wow, unbelievable!
Yeah.
But maybe 2018 is the year of miracles. I don't know.
Yeah.
But if he plays seven matches, best of five, and is healthy at the end of it, I mean, mentally and emotionally healthy, I mean, wow. So good for you, Nima. I hope it happens. I hope dreams do come true.
Yes.
I'm inspired. I've got Nadal, Ferrer, Djokovic, and Federer,
Okay.
and I'm not sure here, Nima, to be honest with you, but I am sure about my winner, and I'm gonna have Nadal advancing over Ferrer.
Yeah.
That was a Freudian slip there.
Yeah.
And Djokovic, Federer. I have Federer advancing there, and I'm getting a Nadal Federer final again.
Wow.
But this time, I don't see Nadal relenting. I really think what I saw was really something special. I don't know if he's gonna last. I can't tell you that, but I think Nadal is gonna win, and that multiple hex and the goat talk and all that stuff is gonna be the story for 2018.
Yeah, and Parsa, I respect that because I saw the stuff on Twitter I think they were actually playing on Margaret Court, and it was basically just to test everything, test the ball kids, you know what I mean, just to make sure everything was in working order. So that's why they had a lot lines people,
Yep.
the whole spiel going. I didn't see it. I saw it on Twitter a little bit, but I didn't see any footage. And if you're telling me that you saw something there, I completely believe you, because that's the exact same, thing that I saw in Kevin Anderson in the Washington final or in the Washington tournament last summer, where I said to you, this guy's going to make the US Open final. And that was a
Yep.
long time, you know what I mean? Because I just sensed it and it did happen. So again, it could not have happened, but it ended up being a great pick, right? So I think that if that's what you're telling me, then, watch out, because Parson might have this one. And I tend to start off slow with my picks, but I pick it up nicely, French, Wimbledon, US Open historically the last couple of years. So
Yeah, do you have any of those picks? Like, one year you picked Wawrinka, I think this
in
day, 5 years ago to win the US Open, and then he
yeah.
did.
No, not yet, because Stan is not where I need him to be right now. But well, I'll let you know. I'll keep everybody in the loop, and we'll keep moving forward. So, with that said, Parsa, thanks so much for your time today and for your picks.
Thank you.
Thanks everybody out there for listening. Make sure to check back next Sunday as Parsa and I return to review week one and preview week two. In the meantime, you can hit us up at ParsaSammy on Twitter, myself at Tennis Connected. You can also follow Tennis Connected at tennisconnected.com on Facebook, Instagram, and make sure to check out all of the great writers and everything that we have coming up. Finally, big shout out to our sponsors, Grand Slam Tennis Tours. For anybody who's down in Australia, make sure to hit them up for all your tickets and traveling needs, as well as for the rest of the Grand Slam calendar. And finally, to Health IQ. Thanks again, be good, and remember to download this podcast on iTunes.